You're listening to IdgitCast, Season 1, Episode 22, Devil's Trap. Sam and Dean seek help from Bobby Singer, an old family friend, in their mission to save their father from Meg.
Welcome back to IdgitCast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, and I have with me in this very kitchen my lovely wife, Darcy.
Hello.
And we have David Bushman in New York.
Hello.
And we have John Pavlich in Texas.
Greetings.
He's our expert, of course. Yvette is on assignment. She'll be reporting in later via voicemail. And we have with us a special guest. We have Malika.
Hello. Also from Texas.
Also in Texas.
Texas.
And how are things with you, Malika? Did I hear correctly that you're on a new podcast?
No. Not on a new podcast, at least not yet.
Okay.
There's always something in the works.
Okay.
But I've been guesting like crazy.
All right. And you of course, were one of the hosts of the now completed Veronica Mars Investigating Mars podcast.
And we're still going on because we're still reviewing the books. So,
yes, that's right.
Which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, it's that's all I have to say. So we're taking it by chapter chunks. So you can stay tuned for that.
All right. Okay, well, I've had some issues this week getting a recap together. So I've just make sure that we're crediting where credit is due. I'm going to be reading the SupernaturalWiki.com synopsis for Devil's Trap this time. And if everyone's ready, we'll just launch into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, because we do have a significant amount of feedback afterwards.
Okay, roll.
All right. Dean is desperate to contact his father, but as he makes another call, Meg answers John's phone. This is actually the very last scene of the previous episode
as well. Yeah, they get a little confused on Wiki, you know.
Well, no, it's the first thing that happens in this episode as well.
Well, I guess so, because of the...
Yes. There is a recap that happens beforehand, the previously on, and the song I didn't actually recognize personally.
Oh, I recognized it, now I've forgotten. What was it?
And I saw on a different site it named it, and... Oh, wait, no, I wrote it down on my
you
summary.
You wrote it down!
I wrote it down on my summary, even though my summary is very brief.
The
song is Triumph, and the song is called Fight the Good Fight. The band is Triumph.
That's Fight the Good Fight is Angel.
Yeah, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. I just know the one at the end of this episode, so it's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, that is a good song.
All right. So, as he makes another call, Meg answers John's phone. Meg taunts Dean that John is beyond help. Sam responds by saying they should find the demon and kill it with a Colt, but Dean counters they need a plan because John is not dead. All right.
Woohoo.
Yeah, I think Sam was saying they should stay put because the demon already knows that they're in salvation and they should just wait for it to come for him.
Yeah, I think that is discussed.
The boys arrive at the home of another hunter, Bobby Singer, and their shared history is quickly sketched out. Dean seems to know him quite well, and Bobby once ran John off with a shotgun.
I like Bobby.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you guys, what do you think of Bobby?
I like him. I hope I see more of
him. I like him. I like that he seems to have survived.
He seems to know he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I was definitely underwhelmed by Bobby, but anyway.
Yeah, so like I said, I like that he survived. All the other previous associates seemed
just
to...
Just didn't have a...
Go ahead.
Did we lose Paul?
No, go ahead. You started to say that it did.
No, me? I just don't, you know, I think he's small. Instead, I just don't think there was much dynamism to him, but I just kind of thought he was, you know, just underwhelming. But anyway, I I'm repeating myself, so go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, I like that he survived because we saw Elkins, and he seemed kind of interesting, but he died off right away. The pastor was cool, but he was gone in the first teaser of the last episode.
Hardly lasted 30 seconds, for that matter.
And then Caleb, I don't even know if he was cool or not, but they killed him off right away, too. So.
Yeah. So
this one's alive.
This one is still alive.
That's a positive.
And I don't know, he seemed kind of like reserved, but he could definitely open up a can of whoop-us, you know.
You think?
Needed to. Yeah.
All right.
I guess you didn't see that much of him, you know.
No.
Like, but, you know, just first impressions, I guess, you know, so.
He does have a dog on a chain.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a plus or a minus, John?
I don't know. I think it's kind of badass.
Is that a euphemism?
I got me a dog on a chain. His name's Paul.
Oh, dear.
There we go.
Apparently, this is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, although I don't think they credit that on screen.
Really?
You see a South Dakota license plate, but.
I thought it was South. I thought it was Southern.
Oh, yeah, no, Bobby was definitely in South Dakota because the license plate on his truck was South Dakota.
No, not South Dakota, like Southern.
Yeah,
but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's not the South. How dare South Dakota call itself South Dakota? It's not.
We all know it was Canada. So,
all right.
It's all Vancouver.
Yeah. All right. So Sam goes through some of Bobby's books on demon lore, including The Key of Solomon, who they describe fairly in detail as it'll trap anything. And gee, that might come up in another, you know, 5 minutes. While Bobby and Dean talk, suddenly Meg kicks in the door. Attacks the boys and demands the colt. However, she gets caught under a Key of Solomon that's actually painted right on the ceiling. And Bobby explains that Meg is actually a girl possessed by a demon, and that the injuries she previously sustained in Chicago in episode 116, Shadow, will kill her if the demon leaves her body.
Hmm.
And it doesn't say it on this recap, but they do get the some details of John's status from the demon before they exorcise it all the way. That it's in Jefferson, John's in Jefferson City, he's not dead, and that's about it. I think that's what they get out of the demon.
Right. Or was it Meg watching it? Couldn't tell.
No, well, then they get something out of Meg, too, after the demon is gone.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that part's actually in here.
So I have a question. She was trapped under a devil's trap, right, on the ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because the Key of Solomon is a book, right?
The book was the Key of Solomon, and then the sketch was not called the Key of Solomon.
What's the drawing called?
The drawing was apparently
the devil's trap.
That is a devil's trap.
Yeah.
Okay.
The titular devil's trap, right?
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So having said that, later on, I guess we can get when we get to it, but Sam draws one on the trunk of the car.
No,
and Dean is like,
he's drawing something else.
Oh, okay.
But he calls that a devil's trap as well. That's what confused me.
I thought
me.
He did. That's why I was confused, because he calls it a devil's trap, and then Dean seemed to like not know what he was talking about. But I was like, you're the one who, when Meg stepped under the devil's trap, like looked up, and anyway, it was just a little confusing for me.
Yeah, but it, if I remember correctly, it looked like what he drew on the car was not the same thing that was on the ceiling.
Yeah, but it was.
It wasn't.
But he still called it. Because Sam still called it a devil's trap when he painted it on the trunk.
That's the thing.
Well, I think he called it that because maybe it like it's a different kind of devil's trap. Like it serves the same function.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
Hand wave. Got
All
it.
Right,
that
good
makes
enough.
Sense. Go with it.
Sam reluctantly reads the ritual while Dean questions Meg about John. She repeatedly claims that John is dead. Finally, the demon is banished, and human Meg, dying painfully, thanks them and offers the clue sunrise. And the boys leave Bobby to head to Jefferson City.
Bye, Meg.
Yeah, I'm sorry Meg is gone, because I think she was really, you know, she was dynamic, I thought.
She was great.
Yeah,
she's one of my favorites.
Yeah, one of the best characters of this season for sure.
And it definitely beats this sort of amorphous, some kind of demon that they have going on otherwise.
Yeah,
right.
I mean the one that only sort of takes form every once in a while, as opposed to one that is a character.
Right.
But I thought that thing where she goes sunrise and then she dies before she can tell them what sunrise is, I thought that was just really cliche. you know, yeah, where she gives this clue. Yeah.
She dies in someone's arms, you know, has last words.
I think I rolled my eyes,
Tell my wife I loved her.
Yeah, exactly.
2 days till retirement.
I'm getting too old for this. No, I think that I just really like her, and I just, it's one of those things that you always have to remember that you can kind of lose people on this show, or actors, I guess, at any point, because like the demon can always move to another vessel, another body. So it's I was sad to like lose her, the actress.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that doesn't come up.
I agree.
One thing that doesn't come up in the synopsis that that is probably worth noting is that Bobby says that something big is happening in the world, that normally he hears of 3 or 4 demon possessions in the course of a year. And this year, so far, there were 27, I think he says.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Something big is happening and you guys are in the middle of it, I think is what he basically says.
27? You know what?
Yeah, I wonder where they got that number from.
Maybe it's...
I don't know. What's 27?
Well, it's actually 37. Is
Yeah. 37 joke, was your joke.
It was close enough. I thought it was appropriate.
I liked it.
Give or take a 10.
In a row. On their way to rescue John, Sam reiterates the need to kill the demon while Dean argues the importance of family. And they were arguing about what Dad would want, and that reminded me of this podcast I listened to recently, the Nerdist podcast. Had Churches, the lead singer from the band Churches, and she was talking about watching Supernatural, and she, luckily, other than one character name that I'd already heard of before that is coming up sometime in the future, other than that, she limited her comments to first season. It was as though she knew.
She did know. She's a listener.
She plays a drinking game for the first season where anytime the boys are talking about, you know, we got to find Dad or Dad is going to want.
It would be so wasted.
Just the introductory recap would make you drunk.
The then section will be like, all right. I will say that in Supernatural as a series, there are so many drinking games that will come to pass. You just wait.
Anytime Sam makes bitch face.
Oh my gosh, like in the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about it.
I hate it when he flicks his head so his bangs get out of his eyes a little bit. That really drives me crazy. I hate it.
So this is not a spoiler to say that Sam's hair is like its own thing in the series.
I just want to shave that boy's head.
Do people live tweet Supernatural and
I've done it before.
Just rag on Sam like mercilessly? The way they do, for the live NBC musicals.
Depends on what Sam is doing or saying.
Nothing to joke about him.
I would say Sam in our circle is not the most popular person in the world.
No.
I will say that that kind of mirrors everything. I think that Sam is the most made fun of character for a variety of reasons.
We do at least here tend to be more Team Dean.
Yep.
Yeah, you won't get any argument from me at all.
I mean, he really is the troublesome kid brother, if you think about it.
But yeah, the troublesome little brother?
Yeah.
Sam?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who is a lot like his father, apparently.
I don't know.
I feel like Dean is a daddy's girl. I just got with that.
I just had this disturbing image of Dean sitting in his dad's lap asking for a pony.
And piggy
with
tails.
Pigtails.
Pigtails.
Yes. But during this episode, it just came to me. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, Dean is such a daddy's girl. It's like, I need to make sure that Dad's happy.
Yep.
Hey, guess what? The recorders are recording.
good to check, Paul.
I thought it was a good time to check it.
You are totally off your game, aren't you, mister?
So, you know, I would think the psychology of that would be that he always sensed that he liked Sam better, or he bonded with Sam in some way that Dean felt sort of jealous of, and therefore sort of went out or bent over backwards and went out of his way to make his father happy to sort of compensate for that.
Yeah.
That would be what I would think the psychology would be.
Well, maybe it's more like, I don't know. I think it's more like an Electra complex, because I feel like, God, I don't know where I'm going with this. Well, I slightly do.
Assassin?
No, like, you know how they have the Oedipal complex, so they have the Electra complex, which is the opposite of that.
That was
so, like,
a comics joke.
Yeah, okay, never mind. I got the comics joke, but I didn't understand the connection. Anyway, I do read Daredevil. So I think that – because I think that Dean seems to be a lot like his mom, and then John and Sam seem to be more alike. And so, I don't know.
Like maybe that's just why they butt heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
well, wait, but we have no idea. You know, from season one, we really don't have a great sense of what the mom was like, right? Or am I forgetting something?
No. And I guess what I'm aiming by that, it's more the sense that, like, and this kind of goes on to later in the episodes, but, you know, it's kind of like you get the sense, even though that, you know, John was not himself when he said this, like that he's kind of the glue that keeps the family together. I guess I was kind of taking from that the fact that Dean kind of watches over everybody. And so, I don't know, it's just almost like a typical mom thing to do. So that's how I got that.
Well, here's the thing to remember about these demons is that they have these people's like memories and thoughts. You know, they know what's inside their head.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? You know what? You know what? Father Merrin told Damien before they went in to do the exorcism was to beware the devil, not because he lies, but because he mixes truths with lies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very
so
true.
It could also just because the demons know everything doesn't mean that they're necessarily telling the truth.
Exactly.
Well, they can twist the truth too. Like I feel like, you know. That he knew exactly what Sam or Dean would want to hear from his father, like knowing that relationship.
Or not want to hear. Like when he says Sam was,
All
just
right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So let's see. Oh, I already did that line. Dean says that Sam is like John, eager to die if it means killing the demon. They arrive at the building where John is being kept, Sunrise Apartments, and form a plan to evacuate it that involves dressing up as firemen, and then they execute their plan.
So convenient they have like these, they can like, you know, steal these outfits.
Yes.
Well, they have a whole trunk full of them. It's just, it's like below the gas tank, you know,
it's like a
storage.
Yeah. It's like a Mary Poppins, you know, trunk.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Magician's
hat. Keep on pulling things out of it.
Yeah.
It's a good thing they have that like a hex thing on top of it or the devil's trap on top of it. Who knows what else is in there? Mm.
They manage to overpower the possessed humans guarding John and get him out of the apartment. After Sam insists on testing John with holy water. John.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, like, I do have to give it to Sam because the writers, because the thing that he did on the trunk and then this are like two, you know, it would be so, are just two signs that Sam is pretty smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're small little details.
Thinking ahead on things.
But also, didn't somebody say earlier that, maybe it was Meg that was saying, well, that doesn't work on me. Yeah, because she was on hallowed ground.
It was the hallowed ground thing. And
yeah,
not the holy
she's
water.
Like, I'm too badass for
that. I'm too badass for hallowed ground to be a thing.
Right. So it's unfortunate that they didn't think of that, but maybe they didn't know that because they weren't watching the show.
They weren't there. That wasn't from their point of view.
And they can't hear me yell at them.
No.
But see, at least they're trying. Like, I feel like there's so many TV shows that would just kind of, like, bypass that. And it would, you know, then you'd start to ask questions like, well, shouldn't they know better? Shouldn't they at least, you know, try? And I mean, it also gave the, you know, us the kind of assurance that, oh, maybe it really is, you know, John. I mean, did you guys suspect anything at this point?
I suspected that he probably would be.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because, you know, something had to happen, so...
I did later on, but, like, at this point when he did the, you know, and I remember when I first watched this, like, when he first splashed him, it was, like, I just assumed that, okay, well, now we know he's John. But later on, I kind of took me a bit. Maybe it's just me.
Well, I thought to myself, well, that didn't work, but that's awfully easy that they're going to maybe get off that way, so...
Yeah, so. Okay. John is barely coherent, but he manages to ask about the cult. Once they are all three out of the building, they're set upon by Tom, who apparently is named Tom.
Tom.
Well, this is the first time I've heard any, you know, I don't think it's mentioned.
I didn't know his name was Tom.
Oh, Tom?
I know. I'm like, where did Tom? Okay.
It's in the Supernatural Wiki.
All right, then.
They're set upon by Tom, who beats Sam severely. Dean whips out the concealed Colt and shoots him through the head.
Kitty.
Kitty says, yay!
Yay! Good shot.
Go away, cat.
At this point, I expected them to run and have, like, John be gone.
Yeah.
Because he, like, left him on the side, you know.
In a secluded cabin, as the boys salt the windows and doors, Dean confesses that he's scared of the lengths he'll go to protect his family. John enters, claiming that Dean should be proud of what he does for the family. Dean grows suspicious of the kind words and points the Colt at John. Sam allies himself with Dean, and John is revealed to be possessed by the demon as his eyes glow yellow. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you guys talk about with the yellow eyes, like the contacts makes like the actor blind?
Oh, nice.
So whenever you see like the yellow contacts, the actor actually can't see through them.
Well,
so
you notice he doesn't really move around much.
Yeah. It's kind of standing there. So when I learned that, I just like every time he had the contacts in, I'm always like watching the actors and how they kind of relate to it and how they handle it. And he doesn't ever look exactly like, if you notice, he doesn't quite. Oftentimes he doesn't quite like look the person in the eye, but it can be just seen as like a devil-y kind of thing, and it's just fun to look at.
Are there some scenes where they paint that in digitally after the fact, or is it always the contacts?
From what I know, it's always the contacts.
Huh.
Yeah.
The demon injures both boys and mocks Sam's unreliable special powers, and he also mentions that Sam was about to propose to Jessica. Dean draws the demon's attention away from Sam, and it reveals that the demons in Meg and Tom were his children. He uses a psychic power to attack Dean, causing him to bleed internally. Dean begs for his life, and John manages to surface long enough for Sam to free himself and grab the Colt. John begs Sam to kill him in order to kill the demon, while Dean pleads for Sam not to shoot. Sam uses the penultimate bullet in the Colt to shoot John in the leg, forcing the demon to leave John's body. And everything looks like it's settling down now.
Well,
they've shot him in the leg, and the demon is gone.
Right.
From his body.
Right.
So, do you think he just left because he was an injured vessel?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because it's weird because they sort of imply. I don't know if the magic bullets have to be in a kill shot. You know, it seemed like they were seeming to claim like you get shot by this magic bullet and it's going to kill you no matter what you are.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't say that you have to do it in the head or the chest or through the heart or.
But it appears to be the case.
Is it something that is explained later? Because I do think a couple of points here. One is I think Supernatural has a history of ending too facilely. In a way that's not really completely thought out or believable. The other thing is, and again, I hate to be overly critical, but you know, you basically had here what was supposed to, I think, be a rather powerful moment or moments that had to do with family and the relationship between the father and the sons. And I didn't really feel my heart tugging this showdown or whatever. So I was kind of, I felt a little flat or disappointing to me. And I don't know if that was something that other people felt or not, or if it was just specific to me.
Yeah. I can't remember if I felt that particular scene. I can't remember what I felt. I know I felt about the whole episode in general, which we'll get to in a very short while.
I mean, it was clear that Sam didn't want to, he could not do in his dad. I mean, he honestly must have feelings, and it didn't make me roll my eyes, which a lot of times I roll my eyes at this show.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Past the eye.
were you moved in any way, Darcy, by that?
Not really moved, but I mean, I could sense an emotion of some sort.
Okay.
If you are already down a parent, you really that last one you really hold on to. I'm just saying. So maybe that was where I was with that.
Sure. Yeah, you could relate to that at least. All right. Well, I'll finish up this summary because it's about three more lines.
It's all right.
Sam drives the Impala with John in the passenger seat and Dean gravely hurt in the back seat. John expresses disappointment that Sam didn't shoot and end the family's quest, but Sam says that killing the demon is not the most important thing. Sam promises to get them to the hospital, but a huge truck slams into the Impala, smashing it and rendering all three Winchesters unconscious. The truck driver has the black eyes of the possessed. And that's the.
What do you guys think?
And that's the season. Well, personally, it could be that I'm too well trained by the likes of Rob Thomas and of Joss Whedon to expect things to mostly wrap up in the end of a season. You know, I know that shows do cliffhangers, and that's something that happens on other shows. But mm-hmm. the shows that I mostly watch, you know, tend to wrap up the majority of things and maybe have one or two little trailing threads at the end of a season.
Mm-hmm.
So it really felt jarring to me because I don't watch enough cliffhanger shows.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was surprised during our commentary that the collision didn't get a reaction from anyone.
Yeah, I think I knew something else had to happen. That normal couldn't be. You know, the normal of let's go to the hospital and get all patched up. I knew that wasn't the end of it for some reason.
Yeah,
and I wasn't like looking at time code or.
Yeah, you weren't thinking of how many minutes are left of the episode.
I knew that there was something more that they couldn't just leave it like that. And if they did, I would have been like, well,
yeah, that was too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because I watched this first season like on Netflix, but it was still like. Over 10 years ago, I guess it must have been around 10 years ago, but it had just come out on Netflix. And I just was completely like, I didn't think that it would end up in a very like happy go lucky kind of way, but it just completely floored me, went out of the blue. So, because they were in the middle of a conversation, I just didn't expect it to happen. So it got me.
Yeah, I felt it was surprising. I'm not a gasper. For the most part, with television, aside from the recent Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season one thing I watched, for people who watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it was I watched the end of the episode "The Well," and that made me gasp out loud.
Right on.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing a panel with Elizabeth Henstridge on Monday.
Oh, you bastard!
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
It's being live streamed. If you want to watch it.
I would love to watch that.
Yes.
I want to go to there.
That's what
I'll be at work, as always.
I'll probably be asleep. Who knows? Or at work or something.
Well, you know, when I sleep, you work. And when you sleep, I work. That's the way it goes.
That's the way our life is. All right. Well, that's the end of the summary, the end of the season. So who won if you're looking at Sam versus Dean?
Mm. Oh,
that's a toughie because I don't want to give it to Sam. But Dean's passed out in the back of the car, so...
Well, they're all
yeah, at the end, it's hard to pick a winner after that ending, you know?
Nobody wins.
Here's a question.
The car, oh.
Is anybody dead? And if so, who?
Are you saying any
of the three people in the car?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we can pretty safely assume that Sam and Dean are not dead.
Safely assume.
Can you?
I'm gonna.
Well, unless you're suggesting that they somehow are brought back to life.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I guess anything is possible.
I'm not making any statement. I just asked a question.
Yes.
Yeah. It's called leading the witness, John.
Yeah, I'm not. I should just keep my mouth shut, too.
Zip it, you two.
Huh.
I hadn't even thought of that.
I'm just taunting you. Oh, no, it's we're just taunting you, actually. We don't have to be leading. We can just be taunting. But I had that question, like, when after I first watched, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought pretty much, like, okay, maybe they'll be okay. But then, like, there's John, and, you know, and he's... I had no idea.
We'll see.
Would anyone be upset if John were dead? That's my next question.
No, I wouldn't be upset. He's kind of a jerk, but...
Well, I know some of you have been expecting it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought this was it. I thought it was last time. Even.
Yeah, I think I said that I didn't expect him to survive the season, so maybe he didn't.
Yeah.
I did love that exchange where John goes to Sam, like, you know, why didn't you call me? And Dean kind of lashes out at him and says, "What, you know, how can you make a statement like that when we try to call you all these times and you never responded?" I thought that was, you know, that was satisfying.
Maybe that's why Dean's going to win.
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I'm grasping. For
well, that exchange here. That exchange was in the previous episode, though.
Was
so,
it?
Yeah.
Dang it!
You can't win. You can't win the background.
Yes, he can because he's Dean.
You can cross over between episodes.
That's right. That's right.
And in the entire season, Sam has stupid hair.
Well,
it's it's hard to pick a winner.
By that measure.
it's hard to pick a winner when they're both lying unconscious at the end of the. At the end of the episode.
It is.
At least unconscious, if not dead, thanks to you guys.
Again, didn't make a statement, just asked a question.
There is no
I'm just kidding.
Supernatural.
I guess
They bring in two new actors.
It's like
that
Doctor Who.
I'm actually
somebody else.
I'm glad you raised the question. Dukes of Hazzard.
They were cousins. It was different.
Oh, the actors held out for money, more money?
Yeah, and so then they brought in their cousins. The same.
Right.
Well, see, in this case, they would be the same actors, but they are playing their cousins.
Yeah, I wonder if they have cousins. What do you think? Identical cousins. It could be, like the Patty Duke show.
Stop what you're doing right now.
Or clones.
The Patty Duke boys.
What about clones?
Yeah. Ooh, clones.
Life model decoys.
Yeah, I know, right? I was just going to go there. Talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm like, mm-hmm. Be an LMD.
Too funny.
Dean did sort of save Sam with a shot to the head, I guess. But I guess then does Sam later save Dean when he's, Dean. And then Dean's in the position where he has to decide whether or not to give the gun to the father. So, I guess you could make an argument for Dean.
I'll just go, that's good enough for me.
Okay, Dean it is then. For me.
Yes, we'll go to Dean.
I wonder who Yvette voted for.
We don't know.
Well, we can try to get...
I think we have a pretty good idea. It's not Sam.
Here goes. It's Yvette.
Okay, hey, Idjits. This is Yvette. And I'm so sorry that I can't be there to talk to y'all tonight about the season finale of season one, Devil's Trap. So this is one that, like Salvation, we recorded a commentary for, so I know I've watched this episode, but Jesus, y'all, I have no recollection, really. I barely remember what happened. Here's what I remember. Okay, I think Meg kidnapped John. I think that Sam and Dean went looking for him. They went to a hotel room. There were some randos up in the hotel room that I guess are possessed by the same kind of demons as Meg, or maybe they are demons. I don't know if they're possessed or they were. John is possessed by Azazel, whose name I will never forget, because I know the Bride of Azazel, of course. I guess Sam maybe shoots John, but John's still alive for some reason, and then they all get hit by a truck. So I guess we'll see what happens at the beginning of season two. But, I really just don't... I think part of the reason I don't remember the episode is that I just don't have any emotional investment in these characters whatsoever. Like, Dean and Sam, I mean, Dean is beautiful to look at. Sam's got a bad haircut. John is gorgeous, but I just don't really care about these people at all, like their problems. If they find Demon that pins Mama to the ceiling, who I'm guessing is Azazel, was that clarified? I honestly don't remember. That's cool. If they don't find that demon, that's okay with me too. Like, I have very little emotional investment in this. I guess you don't need an emotional investment in a show to enjoy it. But it's weird because, like, I've just finished watching, of all things, like, BoJack Horseman, which is, like, an animated show about, like, a cartoon horse and, like, a cartoon cat. And, I became incredibly emotionally invested in that show, which is crazy to me that, like, I really cared about what happened to some animated characters on, like, a comedy more than I do these, like, these people in this, like, drama where I think I'm supposed to really, like, be invested in what they're going through. I guess that sort of leads us into how I feel about this season as a whole, which I know y'all are going to be talking about tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and just give you my season feelings as well. I went ahead and did an average for myself of all of my my ratings for this season, and it's a 6.4. So that's only like slightly above average. There were some episodes that I really liked. My highest rated was Home and Shadows. My lowest rated was Bugs and Wendigo. Those both got a 1 for me. I'm a harsh rater, though. If I hate something, I'll just give it a 1 and I don't care. If I don't really love something, then yeah, why should I give it any higher than a 5? But, yeah, I don't know. I'm watching the show. I'm going to keep watching with y'all. I'm assuming it has to get, like, better than it is right now for it to have gone on for so long. But, yeah, right now I'm kind of just like, eh, this is something that's, like, on. It could be on in the background while I'm, like, you know, doing dishes or something. But, you know, that's some TV just needs to be like that. And maybe it'll get amazing. Because I know some people are just crazy obsessed with this show. So, anyway, I hope that you guys are having a good conversation. I think Malika is recording with y'all tonight. Malika, I wish we were talking. I miss you. Old times. But, yeah. Okay, well, I've gone on for long enough. Okay, thanks, y'all. Have a good night. Bye.
Okay.
Thanks, Yvette.
Oh, I miss her. We'll be talking soon, though, on our other podcast, so we'll be okay.
Yay.
Wow, she didn't like it.
No, she did not. That's all right.
Did she give a rating? All right. Did she give an episode rating for this episode?
She didn't give a rating or choose a winner, so.
Yeah, I mean, okay. She basically gave a rating for the season, which she said is, you know, just above
6.4. I wonder if that factors into a rating for this episode or not.
It sounds like it kind of does.
Yeah. 6.4 is a failing grade. I mean, 60 below 6.4.
Oh, no. That's,
you could think of it as a 6 out of 10. It's like above average.
Yeah. I can say that. I can
see 65.
Optimist.
Yeah. And she did give a rating, guys. I see her rating here on her spreadsheet, and it's a 7.
Okay.
Pretty high, actually.
That's pretty high for her.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She's got a couple of higher ones, but not a whole lot. So.
But she said she had a couple of 9s. It looks like she also had the pilot for a 9, according to this.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we?
So now we're at, technically at quotes. I don't actually have any that I've got written down personally.
Nope, I have no quotes.
I only have 1.
Yay! Go, John!
I'll just go ahead.
It's fine. Right. I'm gonna bop you. Go ahead.
Where's our father, Meg? You didn't ask very nice. Where's our father, bitch? Jeez, you kiss your mother with that mouth? Oh, wait. I forgot. You don't.
And you took my quote.
Oh, my God. And I'm gonna say, I was trying to think in my head that if I could paraphrase that one well enough. Yeah. I decided I couldn't, but that would have been it.
Oh, no.
Well, that must have been the best line of the whole episode, then.
I thought it was.
It very well might have been.
There was, like, things like, I don't know, I just like the fact that, like, you know, later on, he says, your dad's in here with me, trapped inside his own meat suit. I just like the word meat suit.
Meat suit,
it's kind of gross.
We could go with
that. I mean, Jensen had, or sorry, Dean had one, like, listen, you mind just getting over this, I don't think I typed this right. Listen, you mind with, huh? Because I really can't stand the monologuing. I like that because I was thinking the same thing.
Well, there you go.
He's monologuing.
There's your backup.
There we go. That's backup.
All right. Well.
All right. So we can go into our feedback section at this point. We do have a fair amount of feedback from folks other than hosts of the show. We've got one from Allison Jones, the creator of this podcast.
Oh, dear God, I have to read the whole thing. All right, I'll do my best.
Were you going to?
I'll try. Okay. I'll tag you in if I need you.
Okay, yeah, just tag me in if you need to.
Okay.
Okay, so now I just do this, and then I...
Too many words, can't go on.
It's kind of like that.
And then I do this, and then I do... This. Oh wait, no, I don't have to do that.
Are you reading from Facebook?
No, it's an email.
Yeah, this,
okay.
He's trying to make it. Make it. Okay, perfect. I can see there.
Okay.
So, and then also bear with me, guys. I'm on like 3 hours of sleep, and I've been up since 4.
Ow.
So yeah.
This is Allie. She's the creator of the Edgecast, and she is the singer of the theme song.
Oh. I did not know that.
Oh, you didn't realize?
No. Oh, okay. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Well, she's going to be on with us next season. I think episode two.
It'll
so
be nice to talk with her. Yeah. All right. At any rate, here we go. Allison. Hi, everybody. I'm so sorry I haven't said anything before now. It's not because I don't like season one. It's just that I suck. I'm a big fan of the first season. Actually, but I mean season two. Man, this is where things really start to get exciting. The world of the show is established and the writers get to tell... Sorry, the cat got me in the face with the tail. Sorry, gross.
Mouthful of fur.
Yeah. Take that, cat. Okay, sorry. The world of the show is established, and the writers get to tell the stories they've been stewing on and had to hold in until the right moment. I think that's why I usually love the second seasons of shows. On to some live blocking, and then some. So, what do you think of Bobby? I'm sure I'll hear everybody's thorough opinion, but especially Paul's. I can't wait. Rumsfeld. How could she kill the doggy?
That was his dog's name was Rumsfeld.
Oh, I didn't know that. Did the fake out work on you? They conveniently drop you in after they have planned everything with Bobby. Having rewatched it multiple times, it's pretty well done. I don't think they talk about anything that would make sense after figuring out the whole devil's trap and all. Also, it's funny to see them not know that demons can possess innocent people. I mean, I've known that for 9 years now. Aw, Meg's gone. I wouldn't mind having Jeffrey Dean Morgan tied up in my bed. I'm paraphrasing somebody else.
Amen.
I would never say such a thing in my life.
Right.
Okay. I like the fire extinguishers filled with holy water trick. Hate the ADR for demons in that part, though. How messed up is that? Dean can tell it's not his dad by the fact that he told him he was proud of him. Well, he's a pretty crappy dad. Sorry, that's me. But three rights make a left. How about that car accident cliffhanger, huh? I remember when I first saw it. Freaked the hell out of me. Comes out of nowhere at the very end of the episode. Of course, I went straight to the next episode since I was binging on seasons one and two and season three before season three premiered.
The same thing.
Imagine having to wait a whole summer. Anyway, you'll definitely be hearing back from me for the season two premiere. Paul, you take over.
Tired. Yeah, this is a long one.
It is.
So, at the end of the show, the song is Bad Moon Rising by CCR, which is just such a perfect mood switch for that last twist. I don't have my DVDs anymore. It's so tough for me watching on Netflix. They find songs that are lyrically similar to the original choice and usually still quite fitting for the story, but it's all this knock-off hard rock, not any of the classic rock that has a true Americana feel to it, which is part of the whole point of the show and definitely important to its aesthetic. Oh God, when they play what they played in Faith instead of Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult, it was torturous. The music choices are so perfect every time and full of meaning. Not just the lyrics and the style, but the fact that it's the music that the characters listen to. And it's part of what makes Supernatural unique from other shows. Eric Kripke had to fight to be allowed to play the music that he wanted. The WB wanted the kind of music they could sell to kids, like the Dawson's Creek soundtrack, which I owned. She says. That's her.
Not Paul. He'd never own such a thing, would you?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't. Also, you have to get the rights to these songs. Kripke wanted more Metallica and Led Zeppelin, but those bands were too expensive and got limited to references. The music from this show has had a big impact on my life, too. It's sad, but I had hardly listened to any Zeppelin a decade ago, but because Dean loved them, I became interested. I learned to play their songs and AC/DC songs. Blues-based rock became a huge part of my repertoire, which helped me grow my skill as a musician, and gets me a lot of respect from other musicians, especially men. As you might be able to tell, music is a huge part of my life, and I owe some of my success to this freaking show. I guess that's a big part of why I'm still watching it. It's a big part of why I started Edgycast. It's only because of my limited capabilities and horrible luck with technology that I stopped, and I'm so glad that you are all carrying it on, my wayward son. Thank you so much for diving into this ambitious project, and good luck. You're doing a great job so far. I love your insights and discussions, and Paul, your editing is divine. John, you're doing an amazing job leading them through this and keeping your mouth shut.
Aw.
Darcy, you're adorable. Yvette, I wish I could come and hang out with you in New Orleans. And David, I wish you were on the podcast more. You know your stuff. So here is a very long email to make up for the whole season, and I will try to sparse them out next time. Keep up the good work, and happy hunting, Allie.
Thanks, Allie.
Yay.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, so that's the...
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine watching this without the real music. I mean, it's like... This is like my kind of music, so
I've had to watch a few of those episodes on Netflix, and it's just
painful.
Oh.
Yeah, I watched one on my tablet, and then I decided never again. Yeah.
Well, I can't remember. I don't think someone pointed it out. I think I was the one who discovered it for myself right at the beginning of this podcast when I was going back and forth on it. But it was definitely noticeable.
It is.
All right, we do have Facebook feedback as well.
Okay.
And let's see, we've got three of those. They don't look like they're necessarily as long.
There's a decent long one there. Pretty chunky.
This is Ray Doria. Maybe it had more to do with my expectations than the actual quality of the episode, but I have to say that I was left a little disappointed in this finale. Not that it was a bad episode or anything. In fact, I think it was one of the better episodes of the season. I loved all the Meg stuff at the beginning, and I felt bad for the girl that had to live with that demon all this time. I enjoyed the boys' rescue of John from that apartment building as well. Pretty cool stuff. But where I was disappointed was the scene at the end of in the cabin with the demon. I guess I was just expecting some clearer answers as to why this demon seems to be after the Winchesters, and what the demon actually is. I thought that we would get some kind of closure to this plot line, and I kind of feel like nothing has changed. We still don't know who that demon is, or what his purpose is. The scene in the cabin was acted beautifully by all three Winchesters, so kudos to Jensen, Jared, and Jeffrey. And while it was cool to see the demon take over John's body, and it was great to finally get a confrontation between the boys and the demon, we are no closer to actually stopping it or finding out what it wants. So to me, overall, it really felt like a good episode, but as a finale, it left me kind of wanting a little more closure to the season as a whole. The story didn't have to totally end, but I needed to find out something important about the demon to feel satisfied, and I just didn't. Although, as a newbie following along, I am totally interested in finding out where it goes in season 2, I wasn't totally happy with this finale. Thank you, Ray.
Yay, Ray.
Yep.
I can, I'm generally going to be concurring with that a little later on here.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
As I already have a little bit.
Me four.
All right, the other two are very short. Tammy Anderson says, the last few episodes of season 1 is where I really started to get into Supernatural, mostly because of the family dynamics and increased serialization that was implied with the last few episodes. I love all the scenes in the cabin when they're on the run. It just takes everything to another level. And that ending? Kripke, I shake my fists at you. Meanie, be glad you don't have to wait so long for the next ep. I'm enjoying your podcast. So glad you were able to revive it. Keep up the good conversations. And finally, Disbeth Fabian says, what I thought was funny was that Dean figured out that John was possessed because he said he was proud of him.
That's kind of sad.
He's a really rotten father.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that is the feedback for the episode. I guess we are up to our ratings. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and go first. Much like Ray was saying, it, and like I was saying earlier, it may be that I'm somewhat spoiled by Rob Thomas and Joss Whedon, but I expect a season finale to do something, and this really felt a lot like, I mean, it sort of felt like part two of a three-parter. You know, it was a continuation of the previous episode, and it's going to continue into the next episode. It really didn't do anything, accomplish very much, or give us very much new information, really.
Mm-mm.
I mean, other than Bobby saying that there's something big going on and it's more than just this family,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we kind of maybe got a couple of hints at, but we didn't really know. We didn't know it was going to be huge, and it's apparently huge. But all in all, I didn't feel like I didn't feel like the episode accomplished much in terms of telling us much, like just much like Ray just said. And so, therefore, I'm going to have to give it a. I think for a season finale, a very low rating of 5 out of 10. Dogs named after political figures.
Who's next?
Well, I will give it a 7, and I don't really have a lot to add other than what you guys said and Yvette said. I mean, I'm just not feeling the engagement, and I'm okay. I'm kind of like, part of me wishes that it would just become. That, you know, that when that you wait so long in between episodes for this mythology to come, and then they seem like they kind of dispense with it so quickly that you sort of wish that they would let it play out. I mean, you look at X-Files. I can't remember whether it had something happen at the end. I mean, I know one season they shut down the X-Files and things happened, but they played out that central arc for a long time and it didn't bother me. I think part of me wishes they would just do away with the week-to-week monster things and just devote all the time to this, to some central arc, and just let it play out at a much more deliberate pace. And I would be, I think, happy with that. And I think it just left me pretty flat. And I agree with the vet that I just haven't been able to develop the emotional investment in this show that I had hoped to by this point, although it does sound like everybody's saying it really picks up next season.
Yeah.
Yep.
And for me, you know, I'll be honest, I am only watching still because I am part of this and because I've dedicated this to Paul. I'm willing to work with him so that, you know, we actually get some time together. But I get so very little personal time to watch something that it's sometimes a little hard that this is my one thing I get to watch, and in all honestly, that's it. So and part of the reason I feel bad about that is because, I mean, I am often disappointed, rolling my eyes, wishing I wasn't doing it. But, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not in, because I'm still in, I'm still down for it. But it's not always my first choice of what I would like to be doing. It almost feels a little like work sometimes. But regardless, I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10 destroyed Impalas.
Maybe they can resurrect that. Maybe that's
ooh, yeah, maybe it's like Christine.
Yeah, that's the one character that the one character, yeah, that's dead in the end of the episode is
that
the car.
That one made me pretty sad.
That's what Don was hinting
it'll
at.
It'll be like Kit. It'll come back as, like, you know, with a voice mod, you know, activator, start talking to them.
I would love that.
So I'm really curious to hear what, you know, you guys who are not newbies say, because you've obviously, something about the show has kept you invested in it for several seasons. And I think it's kind of interesting to hear everyone talk, because it's kind of sad in a way that I don't know if this podcast has like a really passionate defender of the show. And I think it would kind of be an interesting viewpoint to hear.
Well, that's the thing is unfortunately, folks like me, we can't express ourselves fully because that would be cheating.
Well, it would be cheating. However, you have to say, you know, it's gone on for 10 years. Why? I mean, they would totally.
Did you rate this episode with a number, Darcy?
I did. I said 6.
6. Okay, I missed it. Sorry.
So I think that and Tammy said it very well in her feedback, you know, one of the reasons that I continued on is because, like, you know, this first season, it's kind of like, reminds me of Fringe, where it's very episodic, you know, in the first season. And it was because I was watching on Netflix, like trying to catch up before the new season started. And I was able to just like go from this one to the next one. So the cliffhanger got me, you know, you started to see like some of the archetype stuff in the last few episodes. And then I was able to just go from this one to this one. So I didn't have to wait a week or, you know, record a podcast or even think about it. All I did was like put in the next season. And so it was a continuing story for me. And so it just kept on, like, the momentum just was building and, like, you know, it continued. And, you know, season 2 is one of my favorites. I mean, I'm watching and rewatching it with you guys, but I haven't watched it since I first watched it. So it'll be my second go around. So I'm kind of curious to see if it holds up. But, you know, like, and I enjoyed some of the episodes, but I think the reason why, and I don't know, John, you can speak for yourself, but I really like the arc stuff and I like the longer implications and I like the relationship building. But in this first one, they're really trying to figure out, like, the brothers don't really know each other. They're still trying to figure out their characters. You know, you're still starting to get to know them. So I am not surprised to say that you're not invested in these characters at this point. I wouldn't expect you to be, because I know I wasn't. And, you know, as far as, like, if you like episodic and, like, the monster of the week type stuff, then the first season's probably great. But then, you know, if you like the arc stuff that, you know, is so, like, prevalent in television, especially nowadays, you know, that's probably something that's going to build. So
would you say that that you have to get deep into season two before. Fringe is a great example because Fringe is a show that, you know, really evolved in interesting ways, in many different ways. I mean, they almost reinvented it every season. But do you say you have to get? Would you say you have to get deep into season two before you're like the way I feel right now? It's interesting to hear you say you could go right to episode one of season two. I could never watch another episode of Supernatural and not find out specifically what happened to them, and I would be okay with that. I think I'm not going to do that, but I could. I think. Does it take a while in season two, or does it start off?
I guess it could just be that, you know, since I watched it and when you guys are watching it and how the television you've experienced until now has changed things. But I know that the first episode of season two, like, I loved.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say anything more than that, but, okay. I don't know. John, what do you feel?
I feel the same way. By the way, did you give a rating for this episode?
Oh, I give it 8 out of 10 cold cap knees.
All right. Yeah, it's interesting to hear you guys talk about this because I guess not only am I the only one who loved this episode, I like season one, but having said that, and I've mentioned this before in the past, I started watching Supernatural when it first aired, and I got a few episodes into it, and because it was so sort of episodic and Monster of the Week, I wasn't digging it, so I just kind of dropped off. And what brought me back was this episode. I was channel surfing, and I came across this and was like, oh, that's that show Supernatural. And I was like, hey, there's Nikki Acox. And so I just started watching it, and it was that collision at the very end that just my jaw hit the floor, and I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? I have to see how this plays out from here on in. So it really was the myth arc stuff that brought me back and brought me into it. And season two, I think, is a lot of ways. And so much like Fringe and also Buffy is another good example that you should keep in mind that, like, you know, though they only had like 12 or 13 episodes, those were very, you know, episodic Monster of the Week. And you know, once you get into season two of that show, things get a bit more like in depth, and they start building things. So, you know, I'm not going to give anything away for season two of Supernatural, but I will just throw out a name for you guys, and that name is Ben Edlund.
Okay.
And if that name means anything to you,
he's good.
It does.
Yeah. So.
So yeah, this is yeah, that's a good point, John.
Yeah. So I'm going to give this episode 10 out of 10. Bathrooms on the right.
10 out of 10. Is this your only 10 out of 10 for the season, do you remember?
Let's look.
We have a spreadsheet right here.
I think the thing about me for Supernatural, and you guys are really getting me sort of pumped about the second season, but if you asked me to sum up my opinion of the first season, I would say that by far, the best part of the first season was the first 5 minutes of the first episode, and that it never touched that level again, in my opinion. But, you know, also, I keep saying, I don't want to sound too negative, or I don't know if anybody's watching Constantine. Is anyone watching that?
Yeah.
I am.
It's similar. It's similar in some ways, but yeah. Supernatural, it's not. And I love the Hellblazer books, but I mean, Supernatural looks much better.
Weird. Constantine looks kind of cheap, doesn't it?
It really does. It looks almost like a 70s TV show to me.
Right. And I have a friend, a close friend, who actually worked on some of the VFX, at least in the first episode. But I think what it is for me with Constantine is almost immediately after that first episode, they kind of screwed up because, for one thing, it's on network television, and I feel like something like to really get the feel of the Hellblazer comics, it should be on cable.
But that's true, John. But you know,
compared to this,
and Hannibal
less budgets. Yeah,
and Hannibal is a Friday night NBC show that if you can do Hannibal and come back for three seasons, mm-hmm. there's no excuse for Constantine.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Network show or not.
But yeah, at the end of the first episode, they, you know, it seemed like they were setting up things and establishing characters, and they had this female character that looked like she was going to be Constantine's sidekick for the rest of the show. And then she goes away, and in the second episode, they bring in someone else who basically serves the same function and is almost exactly the same, but it's played by a different actress. And I'm like, and I'm not feeling it as much. I don't feel in the chemistry. I don't really care for the actress all that much. And having been like, you know, three or four episodes into it now, I'm just like, I'm just not.
And also, they aired an episode out of order too. So.
Oh,
yeah, the latest episode, or not tonight's episode, the time before, was supposed to be the second episode. It's just one of those things, you know. It's like I want it to be better than it is, but I mean, I feel like Supernatural, like just kind of bringing it back. I mean, I can see the similarities there. At least nobody like annoys me like they do in Constantine. I mean, well, okay, there's Sam. Sorry, I forgot about Sam. But I mean, still, it's like Constantine. That woman just beats Sam. I mean, her hair is better, but.
Right.
No, you're right. You're talking about Zed, and even by the standards of the comic book, it's really sad what they've done to her.
You know what I think it is? I think the problem for me is that and you can ring the tangent bell in a minute here, but I think it's that.
Actually, I can't because it's not in front of me. All I have is a cat.
Ring the cat. I think it's that. Constantine the series feels like a reaction to Sleepy Hollow on Fox, and they're just not cutting it. It doesn't feel like it's coming from a genuine place of we need to tell this story now. It feels like it's you know, they're following a trend as opposed to making their own.
That's exactly right. I get this sense that it's like reaction to Sleepy Hollow that's going on right now. You know, like Gotham, I feel is very much like, I mean, like we don't have to go on a tangent on that, but that's another one where I'm like, you didn't really need to make this show. You're just trying to go off of a trend, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't want to oversell. I always worry about overselling things. So I don't want to oversell like season two and Supernatural because everybody's like mileage may think that, at least for me, it was much more enjoyable. But yeah, it was like that last 5 seconds because I was so surprised by the crash that I was able to immediately pop in season two and I needed to find out. And then like season two just got me right off the bat and then I just continued. And so hopefully, you know, you guys will at least enjoy it more than you have for season one.
So, hey, do you want to take a little bit of a look at the season as a whole in terms of Yvette's records? She's kept a detailed spreadsheet, so I'll just run through some quick facts real quick on our ratings throughout the season as a whole. It looks like our top rated episode as a whole for our full average of our ratings was. Home looks like it came in at 8.5 as the full average of all of us.
I think that's the last one I was on.
Okay. Yeah. It was followed by Shadows. That's the next one.
Shadows is
8.4.
Okay.
Wasn't that the same for Yvette? Didn't she say the same thing? Like those were the two episodes
she
gave the highest rating to?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Did we find out if there was any other episodes that I gave a 10 to?
There isn't.
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't think there was, but I wasn't sure.
You gave a 9 to Home, Faith, and Salvation.
Hmm.
But no 10s.
Home and Faith and what else?
And Salvation, the previous episode to this one.
Okay.
So, yeah, our lowest rated show as the average of all of our ratings was...
Bugs and Wendigo.
Bugs, yeah. No, not actually, but Wendigo was higher than another one. Bugs was the very lowest at a 3 average.
Route 66.
Route 666 was the next lowest with 3.6, and then Wendigo with 4.2.
Wow, that's wow.
So I will say this, that I don't think that in my 10 seasons, I have found 2 episodes that I hate more than those two. There might be those have tied, but there's nothing lower. Like I will not watch Bugs again. Like I will not.
I think that's probably apt for a lot of people.
I watched Bugs twice because I watched it in preparation for the original recording of this series, the IGCast, and then I watched it again for this for our current version.
I was right along
I'm
with
so
you.
So sorry.
On that. It was hard to sit through it twice in my lifetime.
Oh, that's right. You watched it along with me both times.
I did, yeah.
I've seen Bugs a number of times because I've also done commentary for it on Sofa Dogs. So.
All right.
Well, I couldn't after even listen to Bugs, that. I failed. Remember?
I couldn't.
First time around? Yeah, first time around after Bugs, I bailed. I was like, Paul, you're on your own on this one. I'll see you later.
Right.
So...
All right. Well, I think that should wrap us up for the night.
We didn't Sam and Dina, did we?
Who won, Sam versus Dean?
Yeah.
I can't remember what our consensus was.
I think the consensus is Dean. Okay.
Dean. Yeah, I think we did.
Just making sure we're all good.
Making sure we're covering our bases.
we don't have a bet to keep us on track.
Do we have a tally of that? We would like to know how many times Sam won.
Yeah, sure.
Over the court. Poor Sam.
We have. Well, it's just...
Just count the Sams.
Count the Sams?
Not as many.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Sams, and 1, 2, 3 ties.
And the rest were Dean.
Wow, that's actually not bad for Sam.
Yeah, better than I thought.
It's pretty evenly matched compared to what it was thinking.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, I mean, just because Sam's whiny and such doesn't mean he doesn't occasionally do some right things, I guess.
I suppose.
Just because you're annoying doesn't mean you can't be right.
All right, shall we start to wrap this thing?
Yeah, we should.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, we have to say goodbye to David. He's David. You've got some major projects coming up in the works apparently, and I think you said you'll fill us in on those at a later time when they can be officially announced.
I will, and I will, it's been a great joy getting to know you guys and talking about Supernatural with you, and I promise to keep following you, and I'm definitely, thanks to, John and Malika, definitely going to stick with season two and see how it goes, but you guys all do a great job. You really impressed me with how smart you are and, how nice you are, and I wish you all, great luck.
Thanks, David. Yeah, that's been really great. And hopefully, if you do continue, maybe you can drop us a message on Facebook or send an email or something. And, maybe if you get to a point where you just you can't do it anymore and we'll be actually able to pinpoint, this is where David fell off.
Sure. If I am able to stay with it, I'd like to certainly guest in the future. So I'll be following you guys. Absolutely.
All right. Very good.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
You're definitely welcome back at any time.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for sticking through us with this first season.
Yeah. And all your input and thoughts, and you bring a lot of really great stuff to the table. So.
At any time you could have just been like, I am suddenly very busy.
I will see you all later.
Well, you definitely feel a sense of, you definitely feel a bond with you guys, because you've all been very welcoming and it's fun. It's been fun to share this with you guys. Really has.
Yeah, it's like book club for TV. I love it.
Yeah.
That's what I described it to in my job interview today.
It is. It's fun.
All right.
And we tape it.
And we tape it for everybody else to listen to.
So, Paul, definitely let us know what happens with the job.
Oh, yes, I definitely will.
Okay.
I think everyone on the podcast everyone who listens to the podcast will find out, because I think there will be some...
I don't know
if there will be dropped episodes, but there's going to be some times where where Darcy and I are recording from different locations in the state. So.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
When do you expect to hear from them by?
I'm thinking it's going to be relatively soon. I know that when I spoke to... When I did the first phone interview, they said that they wanted to have things wrapped up by Friday... which is today, and then when I went in today, they said they had a couple more second interviews to conduct, so...
Okay.
So I'm hoping probably within another week or two.
Was this technically a second interview?
This was a second interview. Oh, yeah. My first interview was definitely a phone interview.
I didn't catch that. Okay.
Yeah, because I had a phone interview.
That was for reals. Okay.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there's the phone interview, the first interview, and then the second. So I didn't know.
Yeah, this was a second.
I'm glad that we've clarified this, because this is probably the longest conversation that we've had all week.
There you go. Such is our life.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Malika, thank you for joining us for the season finale.
Thank you for having me. I am looking forward to talking to you guys next season. Actually, I'm towards the end of the season, so I wish I could do the I think you had already taken, someone had already taken the season two premiere, but, you know, I'll be listening along.
All right. Very good.
Excellent.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for tonight. So I'll say,
don't you want to know what homework is?
No! Oh, what is our homework?
Homework for next week is season two, episode one, In My Time of Dying.
Oh, a whole episode from the point of view of the car. Oh, no.
And that's why it's my favorite.
The car talks, the hood flaps.
I love that car, man.
Me too.
All right. Well, okay. So for from me here and...
Hello.
Hey, I'm still smooth. Smooth.
Tired.
Smooth like gravel.
All right, someone else kick off the goodbyes.
Well, from all of us here at IdgitCast, we'll say happy hunting.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Poor Paul.
I was going to do the good night from Elk River, and then John was going to do the good night from Texas. Yep. Good night.
Good night, Elizabeth.
Apparently, you were wrong.
Good night, John Boy.
But that wasn't the way it went.
I know. It's okay.
You have been listening to the IdgitCast from QuadrupleZ.com. Visit our Facebook group at facebook.com/IdgitCast. Email us at IdgitCastPodcast@gmail.com. Please use the episode title in the subject line. You can call our voicemail line, 206-309-9389. Please name the episode early in your message. The theme song for the IdgitCast was written and performed for the show by Borrowed Trouble, and the vocalist is Allie Jones. Find the band at borrowedtrouble.com. The closing music you are hearing right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan and is used by permission. Find more music by Jack, as well as humor, fiction, discussion, and a variety of other goings-on at jackmangan.com, home of the Deadpan Podcast. Would you like to hear more from the hosts of the show? You can find John Pavlich on CastleCast, also from QuadrupleZ.com, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Yvette can also be heard on Investigating Mars, also at QuadrupleZ.com. David Bushman is one of the hosts of the Pop Culture Wars podcast at Facebook/Pop Culture Wars. Get in touch with Darcy for apparel design needs at facebook.com. Search for Cyan Faye Designs, CYANFEY Designs. And you can also hear Darcy and I on the Ghostlight podcast, an introcast for the television series Slings and Arrows, at quadruplez.com. Okay, so I should just try to add people from here. Okay, we'll try adding them here.
Excuse me.
Oh, wow.
I am so sorry. I just, like, inhaled a sandwich in, like, 2 minutes.
Right into the mic.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, you know that as soon as the Skype enacts any kind of audio, it starts recording, right?
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, that'll be nice for the blooper reel.
Oh, no.
All right, John, well, I guess that leaves you and me. Unless you already want to.
Tell scary stories.
Oh, and Fox?
Mr. Fox.
Oh, Mr. Fox is going to put on the headphones because he wants to say hi, because he's conversational. You're gonna have to do some medicine soon, dude.
Yeah, and I'm also going to have a little conversation.
Are you? Okay, really brief. Okay. So this is John Pavlich, Fox. Fox, John,
hello.
This is Fox.
Hey.
Greetings.
It's not the same people as we used to do the ghost light with, so... You can't do knock knock jokes with Ben Pfeiffer. This is John Pavlich.
Oh,
so you have to take medicine? Or are you not feeling well?
I've been the one that's coughing the whole time.
Oh, well, I don't think we've heard it much, so I think you're good.
Okay, not too much editing to do then.
Well, I don't think I'd cut around the coughing unless it was like, you know, unless you were over here and coughing into the microphone.
Then they would hear me.
Then they'd hear you. So, Fox, what's your favorite show on TV right now? Maybe John watches it, too. Who knows?
Star Wars Rebels.
Ooh, I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They have a season that came out, but it's all over. They're not making them for a few weeks, so I'm not going to even check the recordings for a few weeks.
But and you watched the... they're like three seasons into it now. There's a new Ninja Turtles show on Nickelodeon. Have you seen that?
No, I don't watch Ninja Turtles.
Oh, well, it's really good.
Say bye.
Iris wants to say bye too.
Okay.
Are you done, Fox?
You can just say bye into the microphone. You can say bye right now. He'll hear you.
Yeah. Okay, Iris. Go ahead.
And I'll tell you what he says.
Oh. Okay. Here. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, could you tell me a little questions before I leave?
I don't know what that means, Iris.
Ask her a little question. She means actually.
She wants to be interviewed.
She wants to be interviewed.
Oh, I didn't prepare anything. I don't know what.
Iris, what's your favorite show on TV right now?
There you go.
That's a hard one.
That's a hard one?
Paw Patrol.
Awesome.
I don't think I know that one.
Really?
Okay,
okay,
Iris.
Let's go.
Okay, good. Okay. That's good, Iris. Iris says that's good.
Okay.
All right, well, Darcy's working on the veil. I got to get Fox on his inhaled nebulizer treatment, so I think that'll be it tonight, John.
All right, man.
Bye,
John.
Bye.
He says bye. All right, good night.
Good night, everybody. Bye.